Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Proverbs 8:11. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is so important. You can even go to just the very beginning of the book itself. The beginning of the book in Proverbs chapter 1, it begins with the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is so important. And that's because living your life and making wise decisions is important. We all know just if you make a decision, you don't want it to be a foolish one. You want the decisions you make to be wise. And you also want the life you live to not be a foolish one, but to be a wise one. So in order to achieve that goal, I want to look at some different passages in Proverbs. And the first passage I want to turn to is in Proverbs chapter 15, so we can discover what characteristics there are in a life that is lived wisely. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And then 15:10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. When we read through these verses, we can see one common theme, that you have to be humble. You have to be willing to listen to the rebukes that come to you, and not to be arrogant and just think you're above them, and maybe even despise the fact that people are trying to instruct you or the lessons that people are trying to give you, but instead to be humble, to allow yourself to listen to the advice you hear, to listen to the lessons that you learn. Think of a time when you were telling someone how a process worked. Perhaps you were trying to explain something to them, and they were like, oh yeah, I know about this. So you explain it to them, and during it doesn't really seem like they're paying attention to what you're saying. And then once you get to the end, you ask them a question. You said, the reason why I told you all this was because I wanted your opinion. What do you think about this? And you realize that they might have heard the words that you said, but they didn't actually listen to any of the words that you said. The crucial point that you were trying to get across to them was the thing that they actually didn't know. That's showing arrogance, not humility. Showing that you think you're above whatever people are trying to teach you. Perhaps that person even had slight resentment towards you taking the time to explain it to them when they already knew all of this. Instead, we need to have the opposite attitude. Not despising correction, but searching for correction. That when someone tries to teach us something, or we hear a lesson, that we don't think, oh, I already know all of this. Perhaps you do know most of it. But maybe there's something you haven't learned yet. And if you're not paying close attention, you're missing out on that. So to live wisely, the first characteristic that you need to have is to be humble. But does this mean that we just take whatever people say at face value? If someone tries to explain to us something, do we just say, well, you told me that, I'm just going to accept that, and that's how I'm going to live from now on? Well, even just conventional wisdom we get from living in the world would tell us no, of course not. And in the sermon this morning, David was talking about, well, are we just going to keep doing what we've always been doing? It's what we've done forever, so why would we not just keep doing that? Right? That's what I've been told. That's what we're going to do. Instead, in the sermon this morning, what we saw is that we needed to evaluate the things we do and make sure that what we're doing isn't just what some person told us to do, some tradition of men, but that what we're doing are the traditions from God, that we're doing the things God told us we need to do. Turn over to chapter 14, verse 15. Chapter 14, verse 15, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. This is the same idea here in the book of Proverbs, that when we're doing something, perhaps when someone tries to lead us down a path, that we don't simply accept whatever they say. We do listen to what they say. We don't ignore them. We listen to what they say, but we evaluate it. We test it. We see what path they're trying to lead us down and what does it lead to. The next verse continues this idea. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. When I first read this verse, it doesn't seem to connect too well to the verse before it. But then I thought of an example from the lectureship a while ago. One of the speakers was talking about how we stay unspotted from the world, and he had us imagine that there's a little girl walking to school in a pristine white dress for picture day. But on her path to school, on that dirt road, there's mud patches. And she's afraid of getting dirty. She doesn't want to get that mud all over her dress. So she's being careful. She's watching where she's stepping. She's fearful of what she steps in and makes sure that's not what she steps in. Instead, she turns away and walks the clean path. Here, when we are considering our steps, we need to be considering what we are stepping into. Is what we're stepping into evil? Are we stepping into the mud of life? We need to make sure that our steps are being watched. But what is the opposite to this? The opposite of being prudent, to being simple? It says, but a fool rages and is self-confident. What does this mean? Well, it means that they're acting carelessly. They're not watching whatever they're doing. Instead, they're just raging on, acting carelessly, because they don't care about what's in front of them. They're not focused on that. What they're full on is themselves and their self-confidence. So they're not concerned with what they're stepping in. They're just concerned that they're the one getting to do it. But when we are choosing our path, we need to make sure that we are fearing, watching out for what we step in. When you're afraid of something, you don't just say, oh, I'm afraid of that, but I'm just not going to think about it at all. You could try to do that, but often when you're afraid of something, it gets your mind on it. You begin to think about it. When that little girl is walking to school and she's afraid of the mud, she's looking ahead of her. She's watching where she's going. She's afraid of what she's going to step in. That's what fear causes her to do. It causes her to watch what she's doing. And that's the lesson in these verses, that you need to be watching the things you're doing. And then when you realize what you're about to step in, if it's evil, that you turn away. But now, go down to verse 22. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. Here, we can again think of this in the same context of that example. When this girl is walking down this path, she's planning out her future steps. She's planning to stay on the clean path. But there could also be those that they're planning to perhaps go in the mud. They're just trying to have fun along the way to school. Now, but what if you weren't really planning to do evil, but you didn't exactly plan to do good either, right? You were sort of just walking and trying to avoid whatever comes up. Well, that is something you could do. But if you instead plan out your steps, this proverb talks about the benefits of that. It's good to not just react to everything that happens to you and all of a sudden say, wait, there's mud in front of me, I need to turn. Instead, to actually look ahead, to say, okay, I'm going to go left. That way I can avoid all of the mud on the right. In order to live wisely, We need to plan our path carefully. We need to watch out for what we're stepping in, while listening with all humility to the advice that others around us are able to provide. Now, the second lesson, which builds upon this, in order to help us living wisely, can be found in Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Imagine now that you're the one walking this path, and all of a sudden, there's a massive crowd of people around you. Perhaps it gets a little hard to see exactly where you're going. And when the crowd begins to move one way, you start to get pulled along a little bit. And it's difficult trying to see exactly where you're going when you're surrounded by everyone else who's unconcerned with where they're going. But if you have those other people who are also trying to live wisely, who are also trying to plan out their path and watch out for what they're looking in, and you are all together, when you're surrounded by those people, they can help you to not get caught up in the crowd, but to instead continue on that path that you've chosen to walk. And the word that's being used here for safety, or in another translation, the ESV, victory, the word means deliverance. There are situations, there are dangers in life, especially spiritual dangers, when you're living and going about your life. But when you surround yourself with people who are trying to do the right thing, who are trying to plan their life to be the right thing, they can help deliver you from that danger into instead a state of safety. And then the next place we're going to go is in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 to 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Distractions can cause us to lose our way. Right? Imagine you're walking a path in a forest. And the path, it's not like a paved road. Instead, it's one of those foot-trodden paths where it's pretty hard to see exactly where you're going. And then all of a sudden, something over in the corner of your eye catches your attention. And you look over there for just a second, and then you look back. But then maybe you start looking at it again. Right? It's distracting you. But then after a few minutes, you realize you don't know where you are. Somehow you lost the path along the way. When you took your eyes off where your feet were going, you weren't able to clearly see the path, and you started to move a little bit in the direction of the way your eyes were looking. And you started to drift a little bit off the path. But perhaps you say, okay, of course we need to be paying attention to where we're going, right? That was the first lesson. And then the second lesson was we get all the people around us to help us make sure we're going the right way. But now imagine you're in a conversation with someone. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone, and then all of a sudden, something starts going on in the background that is really, really, really interesting? You're trying to pay attention to the person in front of you, but you just can't pay attention because something's going on in the background, and you just get sucked into that. And then all of a sudden, they say something, you're like, what? Sorry, I got distracted. I have no clue what you just said. Well, the same thing could happen to you. You could be trying to walk this path, surrounding yourself with all these people, but when you get distracted, you might actually stop listening to what the people are saying. You stop paying attention to exactly where you're going. You stop paying attention to the people who are trying to lead you back to that path. So the last lesson here is that you need to stay focused. You need to watch exactly what you're doing, not just most of the time, but all of the time. You have to make sure that where you're going is where you want to be. Now, when we're walking our path. When we're walking, when we're running the race that Paul talks about, right? That's the race of living our lives in the way that we've been commanded by God. And it takes endurance to get through that path. And these lessons are lessons to help us reach that goal. But sometimes people can get a bit weary on the path that they're taking. People can get a bit tired, or perhaps they've grown distracted. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we're told about what's at the end of this path. When we reach the end of this race that we've begun by putting our faith in Jesus and doing all that God has commanded us for us to be saved and live the way that he instructs us to, we get the crown of life. If you've grown weary today, or perhaps you've grown distracted, you can come forward after the invitation, but there may also be those here who haven't begun that path. They've been walking a path in life, for sure. Jesus talks about there being two roads. There are two different paths that we can be taking. Perhaps the one that they've been taking isn't the one they want to take anymore. In John 3:16, we're told about putting our trust in Jesus, putting our faith in him. And if we will put our faith in him, then we can be saved. In Luke chapter 11, verses 3 through 5, we're told about changing our ways, repentance, changing the path we're taking. This person walking down the path that's currently leading to destruction, they may not want to walk that path anymore. Instead, they want to change their mind, to take a different path. That's repentance. In John chapter 12, we're told about those who were scared. They were scared to change their path. They were scared to confess who Jesus was. But we can't live in fear if what we're focused on is following Jesus. This morning, during the Lord's Supper, Dion mentioned, why are we even here? Right? Before we even mention what Jesus did for us, why are we here? And the reason why we're here is for the glory of God. Whatever we do in this life, none of it matters without Jesus. We need to not be afraid. Instead, confess, not just at the beginning, but throughout our entire lives, who Jesus is. And then finally, we need to be baptized in order to enter, to begin this path. In Colossians 2, 11 through 13, we're told about spiritual circumcision, that who we were before, that path we were walking, we put all of that off. And instead, we begin walking anew. We begin walking a new path, where we're forgiven of all of our sins at that moment, and we're made alive with Christ. And after that, walking that path till death, from Revelation 2:10, where we will get the crown of life. If you'd like to come forward this evening, please come to the front. It's together. We stand and sing.